encourage the king to action. Notice, open thy mouth, judge, plead the cause. This wasn't just something for him to think about or something for him to consider. This was for him to do something. By the way, you know, I had this thought. Where do you think he learned how to open his mouth for the dumb, to judge righteously, and to plead the cause for the poor and needy? I'll tell you where he learned it from. He learned it from watching his mama. That's where he learned it from. And so, mothers, always encourage your children toward right. And I know there's a point in time in life where our children grow up and they become adults and they have to make their own decisions for themselves. But while they're under your authority, always push them toward right. By the way, even after they're outside of your authority, always push them toward right. Encourage them to do right, all right? And we find his mother did this for him. And then notice also here in verse 10 what it says. Who can find a virtuous woman? It's a question. For her price is far above rubies. And you know what, Otis? What else we notice here, and this pretty much takes up the rest of the chapter here, a wise mother leads by example. That's what a wise mother does. Now, no mother is perfect, all right? And God doesn't hold you mothers to that type of standard. But ladies, you ought to do your best to set the example that your children can look to. I mean, do you realize how powerful words are when they're backed up by action? I mean, anybody can talk the talk. Okay, you've heard the saying before, talk is cheap, all right? Anyone can talk the talk. But let me tell you when the talk gets powerful, it's when it's backed up by the walk, by the way you live, okay? And that's exactly what children, and by the way, people in general need in this crazy, whacked out world we're living in. You know what they need? Examples to look to. That's what they need. And by the way, the most important example for children ought to come from the home, is where it ought to come from. So what we find in the rest of the Proverbs chapter 31 here are the characteristics of a virtuous woman. And by the way, let me just say this. Thank you, ladies of Blessed Oak Baptist Church, for trying to live out these principles in your life. And We've got some wonderful examples of virtuous women here in our church. And for some of you ladies that haven't been coming that long, and maybe you're fairly new here, I would encourage you, look to the seasoned Christian ladies of our church. They set wonderful examples of what this is to be. Now, no one's perfect. We've already established that. But you know what? You don't have to have a perfect example to have a good example to look to, all right? And so we notice here throughout the rest of the chapter, and that's what we're going to finish looking at this morning, is that a wise mother leads by example. So let's look here in the rest of the chapter about the characteristics of the virtuous woman. By the way, that word virtuous, it means to conform to a standard of right. That's what it means. So a woman who is virtuous, it's her life is pointed in the right direction. So let's take a look here. First of all, notice the first thing it says here in verse 11. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that she shall have no need of spoil. And the first thing we find out is this. She is not a burden to her husband financially. Notice what it says. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Now, you know what? The virtuous woman's husband doesn't have to worry about what kind of mood she's going to be in if he didn't spend half his paycheck on something that he wanted, on something that she wanted. Now, I've heard crazy stories before of grown married women acting like spoiled two-year-olds when they didn't get their way. I mean, in fact, sad to say, I know of a couple right now. And in fact, if I mention their names, some of you may know them. A couple who had six children who are on their way to serve the Lord, and to this day, they're divorced. And the reason they're divorced, here's why. Because the wife did not think that, or she thought that she deserved more from her husband, who was doing his best working two jobs to try to support her and the family. Working two jobs, working 16 hours a day. But yet she divorced him because she thought she deserved more from him. And folks, listen, that's not a characteristic of a virtuous woman. So ladies, be content, all right? I think as a husband, we ought to do our best to provide the needs. And yes, you know what? Not always the needs, but we always ought to spoil our wives some. We ought to do that. But ladies, don't be a burden to your husband financially, all right? And with the virtuous woman here, we find that wasn't the case. Here's the second thing we find out about the virtuous woman. Verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She is committed to her husband for life. She's committed to her husband for life. Now, ma'am, I'm not trying to sound like a male chauvinist pig here. Oink, oink, okay? I'm not trying to sound that way, all right? But if you look at it through the Bible, God made ladies to help their husband do the work that God has made him to do. That's the purpose of a lady. You go all the way back to Genesis. You know who God made first? God made Adam first. And then once Adam, God assigned him a task, God realized that, you know what? He needed a helpmeet to help him complete the task. So then he made Eve, okay? And Eve's job was to come along beside and support Adam in the work that God had called him to do. Now, I know that's not the world's plan. I know that. I know, even sad to say, that's not even a lot of so-called Christian women's plan. But let me say this, that is God's plan. Okay? And I understand that there's all kinds of crazy circumstances out in this world that sin has created. I understand that. Okay? But ladies, if you're married to your husband, you ought to be committed to him for life. You ought to be committed to your husband for life. Let me just say this. There's a certain confidence that comes from knowing that your wife is right there behind you and has your back. And guys, we're going to blow it. I mean, there's not a man in here who's never not blown it. And, you know, there's times in my life where I've blown it big. But you know what the confidence that you can have to pick yourself back up and go forward as a man is when you know that your wife is committed to you for life. And that's important for a man. So you know what? That's one characteristic of the virtuous woman. She's committed to her husband for life. And number three, she's not afraid of work. Look at verse 13. It says this, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Look down at verse 27. She looketh well to her ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Now, you know what? I'm thankful that the Lord has blessed me with the ability to provide for my family so that my wife doesn't have to work outside the home. Let me say this. Just because she doesn't have a job where she gets a paycheck doesn't mean that she doesn't work hard. Okay, I mean, I think all of you would agree that when it comes to taking care of a home, especially when there are children involved, women probably work harder than we men do. I mean, as men, you know, we work anywhere from 8 to 12 hours a day, unless you're Chad Gordon, and then you're working 20 to 22 hours a day, okay? But, you know, we men put in a lot of hours, all right? But you know what? We eventually get to come home. But a wife who's a keeper of the home, guess what? Her job's 24/7. I mean, you know what? When my kids got sick in the middle of the night, I'm not the one that got up with them. Okay? In fact, all I'd do is I'd say, honey, the kids are crying, and turn around and go back to sleep. Okay? But you know what? You know who got up with the kids? You know who cleaned up all the vomit and all the other messes kids make? Mama did. And you know what? A virtuous woman is not afraid of hard work. She's a hard worker, and it's important that ladies, you're a hard worker. Not only that, we see the next trait of the virtuous woman is that she's a good steward. Look at verse 14. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. You know what? She knows how to be a good steward with the money that she has. She's not a waster. What an important character trait to have in this expensive world we're living in. I mean, you know, folks, it's expensive to live life today. It is expensive. It takes money to live. And you know what? When someone goes out and works hard to bring home a paycheck, they're in essence, when they give you their money, they're giving you a part of your life because it took time to earn the money. And so you know what we find here? That the virtuous woman is a good steward of the things that she's been entrusted with. Not only that, we see in verse 15, she has character. Look what it says here. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Now, what's it mean when it says she rises also when it is night? You know what that means? She gets up early in the morning. That's what it means, okay? And you know what? She doesn't lay in bed till noon and sit on the couch and eat bonbons and watch soaps all day, all right? That's not what she does. By the way, notice here that she makes it her responsibility to take care of her house. She isn't pushing those jobs off on anybody. Notice that here. I mean, she did, it wasn't the job of a maid or a nanny to take care of her children. It was her job, and she's the one that's preparing the food for the family. Why? Because she has character. Character. And you know what? That's a great characteristic of the virtuous woman. Look at the next characteristic here, verse 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. Look again at verse 24. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. You know what? She is business-minded. She's business-minded. Now, some women have the false notion that a housewife is only to be barefoot and pregnant her whole life. All right? Some people think that. All right? But notice here, that's not the case. Notice her business savviness here. Notice what it says. She considers a field. You know what that means? That means she knows what she's doing when it comes to business. Okay? Just because the field for sale doesn't mean she automatically purchased it. No, she considered. She thought about. She knew what it was that she was buying. Then after she bought it, you know what she did? She put it to good use. Okay? And by the way, let me say this. It takes a business mindset to run a house efficiently. Yes, it does. I mean, that's why, ladies, you need to teach your daughters how to shop and to compare prices and look for the right deals. I mean, I'm no brainiac, but I just know this. If I go into Walmart and don't look for coupons or deals and just buy anything I want, it costs a lot more money than it would be my wife who goes in with coupons or bargain shops or comps and all that other stuff ladies do. You know why? Because she's business-minded. She's always trying to do the best she can to save money, all right? So we find that characteristic about the virtuous woman, all right? Look at the next thing here, verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She cares how she looks and feels. Okay. Now, look, I'm no dummy. All right. So I'm going to be very careful here. All right. But ladies, you ought to try to keep yourself looking and feeling healthy. By the way, you owe this to yourself. You owe it to your husband. And not only that, you owe it to the Holy Spirit of God who lives inside of you. Okay? I'm not talking about being ridiculous and becoming obsessed, but let me just say this. You know what? It ought to matter to you. Our outward appearance is a testimony to the world. It's a testimony. Not to mention, you're going to feel better about yourself if you work to maintain health in these areas of your life. Okay, now, once again, I'm being very careful here. But you know what? This subject shouldn't make us nervous. If God thinks it's important to put it in the Bible, then we ought to make it important enough to put it to practice in our lives. So the virtuous woman cares how she feels and looks. Look at the next characteristic here. Verse 18, it says this. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. Look at verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. Now, why does her candle not go out by night? Why is she not afraid if it snows? You know why? Because her emphasis is on proper preparation. And that's the character trait here. She's always prepared. Now, ladies, in life, there's some things that you can throw together at the last minute and get by. But let me say this. Most things that are important and things that are going to make a difference have to be prepared for. Preparation is a part of life. This is true when it comes to areas of your house, when it comes to maybe cooking a nice meal or having the house ready for company or even to the raising of your children. You know what? You know what the key to success is? Preparation is the key to success. You must prepare. By the way, look at the life of Christ. I mean, he was on this earth for 33 and a half years. How long did he spend preparing for 3.5 years of ministry? 30 years. Think about that. I mean, don't you think if Jesus would have wanted to, he could have started his ministry when he was 20? He was the Son of God. He could have done anything he wanted. But God put the emphasis on preparation. And you know what the virtuous woman does? She prepares things. She takes the time to prepare. There's a great illustration of this back in Genesis. We won't turn back there. But if you go back to Genesis chapter 18, what you find is you find, of course, the life of Abraham. And you know the story where God was going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wickedness. So what does God do? He comes down along with two angels and he visits Abraham. Okay? And when he visits Abraham, Abraham realizes, hey, I got some guests coming to my house. And notice here what happens. Let me just read these verses to you. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine flour, knead it, make cakes upon the earth. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, speaking of the servant here, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree and they did eat. So you know what you find? You find all of a sudden unexpected company drops by. So Abram runs to the tent and says, Sarah, I need this meal put together right away. By the way, you know what you see? You don't see in Scripture Sarah giving Abram a hard time or questioning him. Well, why in the world would you want me to do this for? I'm in the middle of washing the tent walls or whatever they did back then, all right? I'm in the middle of doing this. No, you know what you find out? She immediately did what her husband asked her to do. And now listen, I know this was kind of spur of the moment, but the only reason they were able to get this meal together properly was because she'd already had certain things prepared. She was a prepared woman, okay? So the virtuous woman lives in preparation. Here's the next thing we find. Look at verse 19. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her staff holds the distaff. Now, the spindle and the distaff are what they use to make their clothes with. Okay, and you know what? Here's the principle. She made sure that her family's needs were cared for. She made sure that her family's needs were cared for. She had the skill set to make sure that the kids and the husband had the proper care. And we've already seen how she's prepared food, but also now clothes. And she made sure that the needs were taken care of. Now, one of the things that I've heard my wife say often, as we're walking out the door for church, is your shirts tucked in? Are your collars fixed? And that's just what she's saying to me, all right? No, just kidding. She doesn't say that to me, all right? That's what she's saying to the boys, okay? You know, what's she doing? She's making sure that the kids are looking good, and she's making sure that they look the way they need to look. They're presentable. Now, if it were up to me and my observation skills, okay, I mean, my boys would walk out the door with the boot and the tennis shoe on, okay? I mean, you know, or they'd be wearing their play shoes to church. I mean, if it was up to me. I'm so thankful that I have a wife who pays attention to stuff like that, okay? And the other day, she says, you know, I need to get the boys some new shoes. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You just bought them new shoes 2 years ago, all right? Well, of course, kids grow, all right? I mean, duh, you know, I'm the dad. I'm kind of a retard when it comes to dressing the kids, all right? But thank goodness for a wife who makes sure that the family's needs are cared for. Now notice this next thing here. I thought this was interesting. Verse 20. She stretched out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. Not only does she care about her own family, but she cares for the poor and the needy. Now I have a feeling that spindle and distaff that she used weren't just for making clothes for the kids. You know what? She not only saw to the needs of her own household, but to the needs of those that were less fortunate. What a wonderful lesson to be taught to our children. Folks, listen to me. Please, please, please stress to your children that life is way more important about things. You know, people are more important than things in life. People are way more important than things. I mean, I see people sometimes get so bent out of shape over things, and but yet they're neglecting the needs of people, okay? I mean, teach that lesson to your children. I'm glad that there's been times when, and by the way, this is a lesson my wife has taught our kids. There's been times where we've had maybe other kids, another family over to the house maybe that maybe didn't quite have as much as we had. And their kids are up playing with my kids. And you know what? You know what? The boys and the girls will come down and say, hey, Mom, is it okay if we give them this? And, you know, I'm so thankful for that. I mean, I've literally had my kids give away Christmas toys that just gotten a few weeks earlier. Hey, is it okay if we give this to them? Yes, it's okay. Absolutely. You know why? Because people are more important than things. And as Christians, we're losing that, folks. You know what? I mean, we're raising a generation that's so stinking selfish. I mean, you know, think about it. We're so selfish now that we've got, we named pictures after that, right? You've heard of it, selfies, all right? They got these new stupid things out now. I just saw them the other day. They're called selfie sticks. There's a stupid telescopic rod that you can put the end of your stupid cell phone on and pull it out in front of you and take pictures of yourself. I mean, we are living, I mean, folks, I know it sounds funny and it sounds stupid, but listen, we're living in a selfish generation. Okay, and we have people who don't know how to take care of the poor and needy. Where do they learn that from? Where do our kids learn how to do that? They learn it from mama, because she cares for the poor and needy. Notice here the next thing we find in verse 22. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Now, it's not wrong to do things for yourself. Okay, I mean, you know, the virtuous woman doesn't walk around living in just wearing a brown paper bag for clothes. That's not what it says here. But notice here, after she's taken care of her household, after she's taken care of the needy, then you know what she does? She maketh fine linen for herself. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Okay, now you know what? She cares how she looks. She cares how she looks. Now, there's obviously a balance in this area. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy that warns us about putting too much of an emphasis on the outside, okay? But let me say this. There's nothing wrong with a lady looking nice and feminine. By the way, ladies, that shows character. That's a good testimony. Now remember, all right, you're a representation to your family. You're a representation to your husband. You're a representation to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that, you always ought to do your best or you always ought to look your best when you go out in public. I mean, folks, listen, we have come a long way in this society we're living in, a long way. One of the shows that we like to watch is Leave It to Beaver. Y'all remember that show, all right? And that's what we like to do. We will buy these old DVD sets, and that's what we'll do, watch as a family. And we were watching Leave It to Beaver, and those of you who have seen that, okay? I mean, what a change in society. Okay, those of you have seen that, Mrs. Cleaver, you know, she when she's vacuuming the house, she's always wearing, a nice dress, and she's always got a pearl necklace on. And I'm not saying, ladies, you got to go to that extreme, okay? But listen, you know what the point is? You know what? She always looked nice and presentable. I mean, folks, listen, our society is crazy. Did you go to Walmart this week? Seriously, and see how people look? I mean, Who needs to go to a circus for entertainment? Just go sit in Walmart parking lot. I'm serious. No, I really am. As a society, we've lost our stinking minds. What is wrong with the way people look nowadays? I mean, it's crazy. And you're laughing because you know it's true. That's why, okay? And so the virtuous woman, she cares how she looks, okay? She makes sure that she looks proper. Here's the next thing we find about her. Verse 23 says this: her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She lives to see her husband honored. Now, I know that doesn't sit well in this new age of liberation we're supposedly living in. But let me just tell you, these new, supposedly liberated women, they're not the happy ones. I'm just telling you, they're not. The virtuous woman lives to see her husband honored. Ladies, does it bother you if your husband is honored instead of you? Once again, I'm not trying to sound chauvinistic, but you know what? It's part of your job to lift up your husband. Notice the verse here, how it's described, how the man's described. He's described as her husband. That's on purpose, because it was an honorable thing for her husband to be associated with her. An honorable thing. He wasn't ashamed to be associated with his wife. In fact, when he was associated with her, it brought him honor. Ma'am, do you live your life in such a way to where it's an honor for your husband to be associated with you? Or is there something in your life that brings him dishonor? Now, I've said this before, but the ministry of a pastor literally is in the hands of his wife. Anytime a wife wanted to, she had the power to take her husband from the ministry. Absolutely, okay? And by the way, that's just not true about a pastor, but a wife has the power to bring dishonor to her husband. So ladies, the virtuous woman here, the example she sets, you know what she does? She lives to see that her husband is honored. Here's the next thing we find about her in verse 25. It says here, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. You know what that means? It means this: she has dignity. She has dignity. If there's two character traits that could sum up what a virtuous woman is, that they'll be found in this verse: strength and honor. By the way, let me say this. It takes strength to be a godly woman. It takes strength to be a godly woman. I've often heard it said before that motherhood isn't for wimps, okay? But you know what? I've seen a lot of mom who are pushovers, okay? Let me rephrase that. Godly motherhood isn't for wimps. Godly motherhood isn't for wimps. You know what? If you're going to raise good kids and take care of your home and husband, let me tell you what it takes. It takes strength to do that. It takes strength to do that. You got everything pushing against you. You got society pushing against you. You got Hollywood pushing against you. You got the devil. You got the flesh. You got all that pushing against you. And if you're going to be what God wants you to be, it's going to take strength to do that. And then notice here, it says it takes honor. Honor is something that's on the inside. It's a result of her being godly and virtuous. By the way, notice what the rest of that verse says. Let me read the end of it here. It says this: and she shall rejoice when? In time to come. You know what that means? It means this. You've got to, godly ladies, you've got to stick to the right things because rejoicing is in the future. That's why it's important that you fight the battles early. Because let me tell you something, when you're in the middle of the battle, you're in the middle of battling to do right, you're in the middle of battling to raise good kids, you don't rejoice then. But the rejoicing is always in the future, okay? And so we find that the virtuous woman has dignity. And then also, notice here the next thing it says about her in verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. You know what it is? She's kind and compassionate. She's kind and compassionate. You know what? She's the exact opposite of the other woman the book of Proverbs talks about, known as the strange woman. She's exact opposite. The virtuous woman, by the way, isn't just kind with her actions, but notice the source of where her wisdom and kindness come from. Did you see it there? It comes from where? Her mouth and her tongue. That's where it comes from. You know what? The virtuous woman isn't the one going around spreading gossip in the church. That's not the virtuous woman. The virtuous woman isn't the one that's always running down her husband to the other ladies. That's not the virtuous woman. The virtuous woman isn't the one that when her husband comes home, she immediately starts in on him and starts griping. That's not the virtuous woman. You know why? Because the source of her tongue and the source of her mouth is kindness. I know it's not always easy to say the things that are kind, okay? But that's what we find here at the virtuous woman. She's compassionate and she's kind. Ladies, don't be a woman who is known for having a poisonous tongue. Don't be that way. Don't be a poison in your church. Don't be a poison in your home. And then last of all, notice here her reward. Notice what it says, verse 28 through 31. It says this, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously. Notice here, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gate. Do you see the reward there? The praise comes from her children, comes from her husband, comes from her own works. Okay, by the way, notice where the source of praise was. It wasn't from her own mouth. She didn't praise herself. But you know what? All the other people, because she was this virtuous woman, praised her. All right, so let me say a big thank you to all the ladies of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Thank you for showing these character traits in your life. Now, once again, I don't think any of us have arrived. I don't think anybody will ever probably be perfect at this, but you ought to be striving toward this. You ought to be striving. She should be your goal, the virtuous woman. That ought to be the goal that you look toward. By the way, I love how practical the book of Proverbs is. God doesn't just say, be a virtuous woman. He breaks it down almost in every single area of your life. Here's what you do to be a virtuous woman, okay? Here's what you do, all right? So no matter where you're at, ladies, on this journey, always be striving toward this, all right? And we pray you have a blessed Mother's Day, and thank you for attending Blessed Hope Baptist Church this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you, God, for the book of Proverbs. Thank you, Lord, for the virtuous woman, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for those in our church who do demonstrate these character traits in their lives, Lord. And please bless them, Lord, and help us to have a blessed Mother's Day. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.